So hello and welcome to Lunch with Leon. Once again, I'm really pleased to welcome one of my friends from around the world of transport. And this week, I've been talking to Glenn Bement. He's the head of sustainability for SMEs at Lloyds Bank. And after 6 months now since COP26, I was really pleased to catch up with Glenn and find out what Lloyds Bank is doing. So, Glenn, welcome to Lunch with Leon. What's Lloyds Bank doing in sustainability?
Hi, Leon. Great to see you. Thanks for the question. So, look, first of all, just before I answer that, I think sustainability, Lloyds Banking Group, so our Lloyds Bank and Bank of Scotland brands have to be doing something around sustainability because, frankly, if we don't, the planet's going to continue to heat up and there'll be a world of pain for us all with increased flooding and severe weather and not just disruptions to business operations in the UK and overseas, but, risk for us now and for our future generations. So that's the planetarian, climate crisis that I think we're all increasingly aware of. And we've seen those severe weather patterns in the UK over the last few weeks with a number of storms landing, particularly where I am in the Northwest. From an organisation perspective, we've been talking about helping Britain prosper for a few years now. We'll continue to talk about helping Britain prosper as our mission. And hopefully that resonates with you, Leon, and the listeners. And just a part of our launch of our strategy last week for the next sort of chapter, if you like. You know, we bank one in five SME clients in the UK. So, we've got a huge number of clients to support on their transition to a greener outcome to help them reduce their greenhouse gases, carbon, methane, etc. And it's quite a challenging landscape for many SMEs to start. So it's central to many of our clients and their success is a big lever of our success. So we're doing it for the right thing, which is the planet. We're doing it for the right way because it's our sort of corporate mission. And clearly, we've got a huge role to support our clients, learn more about it and take some action.
Sure. And I was fascinated in reading the report, the one that we just talked about, which is From Now to Net Zero, Practical Guide for SMEs from Lloyds Bank. There's a very high level of awareness about net zero amongst the SMEs. It says here 42% believe that committing to net zero will help reduce cost and waste in their business. And that's way higher than I would have thought, because I had detected quite a lot of scepticism amongst the SMEs for net zero on the grounds that I think they thought that it was a sort of big business thing and something that SMEs really couldn't participate. So that was, for me, that was a surprise in the report.
Yeah, so we as you say, the Now to Net Zero report was 1,000 SMEs, not all Lloyds clients, responding to some research that we commissioned and then led a report on, and that ended up in a hopefully useful piece of insight and some recommended practical steps. So it was useful to people that took the time to read the report. And you're absolutely right, Leon. The awareness, and I think actually COP helped, and certainly the conversations leading up to COP helped, the fact that it was in the news helped. So the awareness and the education is definitely on the increase. So, the stats that you talked about there, are recognised in the report. But I guess on the flip side of the awareness that, some of the stats on the sort of the downside are really quite stark, and that 40% of SMEs don't yet know what that means for their business. That's a huge number. Only half are saying that reducing their carbon is a near-term priority. And I think that's the point I raised before. It's a real challenge. They've got so much on their plate in terms of capacity, other priorities. Just getting round to this is really quite a challenge for many SMEs.
Well, I was fascinated because I think in some cases in business, people are waiting either for the government to pay for it, or they're waiting to be led by the hand, so to speak. And you're entirely right. The report does make this point, doesn't it? That there's budget issues, there's the costs, and what's the return? But the other thing that came out of the report that I was fascinated in is that there are new SMEs being born and existing SMEs mutating to take into account the opportunities of net zero, because there is a market for more sustainable products, more durable products, and less disposable products. So it's a marketing opportunity as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we try to be really balanced in our report. So absolutely call out the risks and the challenges and the headwinds, which often grab the headlines because that's just the way that, you know, we often report these things in that order. But equally, where there's risk, there's also opportunities. So the financial one that often gets called out, that SMEs just don't have the wallet, frankly, to invest either people into this space or to take action, is that if you take some sustainable actions, actually you can reduce your costs in things like, you know, your use of water, electricity, gas, you know, consumption of sort of what I call consumables, paper, etc. And those cost savings can be reinvested back into the business. I mean, these are all quite obvious to us as consumers, I think, but, and, you know, increasingly take place in the workplace. So the, you know, improved efficiency can lead to improved productivity. So that's another constant challenge that's called out by SMEs about how do I get the space, the headspace, the physical space to get to it. And I think the third thing, you know, the third example of this is for those that do get on this journey in terms of retaining talent and attracting talent, increasingly employees or potential employees are looking at employers saying, well, what are your credentials around sustainability and broader ESG? You know, is this an employer I want to work for? So really important to ensure you look after your existing workforce and attract the type of talent that you need in the business, not just for sustainability, but for all aspects of the business.
Yeah, I think those are all important ingredients. So firstly, because of this greater environmental awareness amongst young people, increasingly young people are wanting to work for employers that demonstrate sustainable characteristics of their own. And then there are the discerning purchasers, the people who, again, only want to buy from sustainable retailers or people in the supply chain with sustainable characteristics. So generationally, this is going to get us moved on anyway, isn't it? So no matter.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure you must get it. I certainly get it. Pressure from young people to question several times over the ethics and the background and all sorts of things that perhaps we hadn't considered for. So for me, the greatest sell on sustainability is not just that it's the right thing to do, because it clearly is, but there's a new market opportunity, an increasingly discerning customer base. And finally, as you said, finally, the position is that environmentally sensitive, sustainable businesses are more efficient businesses in any case, because some of the lack of sustainability in the past has been associated with wastage.
Right.
Well, I think bringing all this together is the right thing to do. And I think it's brilliant that Lloyds is doing this for its customers and also for its potential customers, because it's the route to good business.
I couldn't agree more, Leon. I mean, we'd like to be seen as the go-to bank for green businesses and businesses that want to become greener. And I think the truth can be said of many of our clients, actually, is we just talked about on opportunities, and there's definitely opportunities for new clients and new markets if you get this right. So if you grab this, dedicate some time to it, prioritize some investment spend to it. We've definitely seen case studies within our existing clients who have won new clients, won new contracts, entered into new markets. So they often say that fortune favors the brave, doesn't it? But there's definitely upside opportunity here. And therefore, at some point, there'll be clients that are disadvantaged by being perhaps slower to the opportunity or addressing the risks. And one of my concerns I have is around supply chain, where you could have a great business producing a great product, a great service, a great price, great degree of track record and integrity. But if that client doesn't have a green strategy or a sustainable strategy in terms of who they're supplying into, and some of the larger corporates could very quickly get squeezed out of the supply chain. And I think that's a very real risk that could happen very quickly and without a whole lot of notice.
No, sure.
So I don't think doing nothing is an option for too long.
No, indeed. Well, actually, in the transport world, where I've spent most of my working life, there are some interesting challenges here. And the most obvious one, which I see in the transport sector, is the emergence of these intermediaries. So these are the people who will help you to net zero, all right, because what they'll do is they'll finance your vehicles and finance your batteries, and they will sell you your energy, and they will wrap it all up into a power by the hour, pence per mile deal. which, as far as the business is concerned, de-risks this whole conversion to net zero business, and in particular, all the imponderables, like how long batteries will last and what the price of energy is going to be in the medium term and so on. But on the other side of that, they're doing it with a margin. So they've pushed their way between the traditional supplier and the traditional customer, and they're pinching a couple of points margin from somebody. And whether it comes from the original manufacturer or whether it comes from the ultimate customer, they're digging a margin out for taking the risk that they are. So is that something that you've observed as part of watching the marketplace? Because on the one hand, it's balancing the certainty of holding on to your costs in an uncertain world versus making less money.
So great observation, great question. And I'm going to sound like I'm sitting on the fence here. I guess all sorts of business models are some sort of form of intermediary between supplier and customer. And that's where you add your value and your margin, as you talk about, Leon. And we've seen these intermediaries in all sorts of sectors, you know, more recently, you know, whether it's insurance or energy, for example. And you know, who am I to say what's the right or wrong model? I think one of the big messages from COP when I was spending a few days up in Glasgow at the back end of last year is huge consensus from everyone that was there that this is very much a team sport, and that, you know, it's really difficult to do this on your own and in isolation. So if we just go back to the climate crisis, the more people that are trying to help people to get to net zero has got to be a good thing in terms of looking after the planet. And I would advocate this, wouldn't I? But, you know, where there are existing relationships, like with your bank, like with Lloyds Bank, you know, there's many things that we've been building within our proposition to make clients more aware, more educated, more informed, so they can make some prioritised choices and do it themselves. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it will be the client's decision on how they go about activating that. But I think that the important thing is that clients begin to understand their current emissions, their current baseline, and then build a plan from that. And, you know, without that knowledge of where they start today, it's really difficult to build a plan or know how much carbon they're actually producing in their own business or in that of their supply chain. So anyone that can help them get started is welcome in my mind. But, you know, there's plenty of things that Lloyds Bank can be helping clients with directly.
So one of the reasons I think people are starting to take some of this seriously, paradoxically, is the pandemic. The truth is, if this pandemic had happened 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had the supply chain to do local deliveries. We wouldn't have had the infrastructure for home shopping. Amazon would just be a small business by comparison with what it is now. And we wouldn't have the comms to be able to do conversations like this one on Zoom.
Absolutely.
So I think the pandemic has reminded people about how fragile some of their supply chain arrangements are and how it needs to have more resilience in it. So paradoxically, for all the terrible things that have happened as a result of the coronavirus, I think it's helped people rethink their business and rethink how they operate it. And the whole net zero thing, the sustainability thing has joined it. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Maybe I just use our own organization as an example. You know, within our SME and mid-corporate business, we had a number, you know, a few hundred relationship managers and relationship directors traveling frequently daily to see their clients and doing business face to face. And, you know, I'm certainly an advocate of that, having spent sort of two decades of my career, you know, doing that or leading teams that do that. And I still think that there's a role for that. But it's quite frightening to work out what my carbon footprint would have been over all those years doing business in that way. We talked earlier about productivity, the fact that you can host and dial into more meetings on Zoom or Teams, etc., without jumping in your car or a train to go and see a client. You can be really time effective. I think, you know, those productivity gains have been quite clear. So I think our own experience of that. And then clearly the subsequent impact of COVID is about use of real estate. Do you need as much real estate and therefore the energy that goes into that electric, gas, heating, water, paper? So I think it's been an opportune moment to review business models and costs and the way you're doing business, and has undoubtedly helped. And we've made some commitments at Lloyds Banking Group around things like colleague travel that, from a carbon footprint perspective, will not exceed what they were pre-COVID pandemic levels. So statements and ambitions like that are quite an obvious thing to make, but as you say, are definite upsides of the COVID pandemic. And to your point about supply chain, certainly personally, certainly changed my own behavior, you know, that I now get milk delivered to the door in a glass bottle, get eggs from the local farmer. One, just because it supports local business. Secondly, it just stops the use of single-use plastics and unnecessary transport costs. So everyone can do their bit. And I think it just means that people are a little bit more thoughtful about, you know, their own consumer and business behaviours.
I think that's entirely true. And in fact, it's a story I might have mentioned before, but in March 2020, I was due to chair a conference in Sydney. And I don't mind telling you, I was quite looking forward to my day in Sydney, which of course was going to be a week by the time I'd got there, become acclimatised, chaired the conference and come home again. It's back on again now, but it's by Zoom. Mm. And those days of people taking very, very bad carbon polluting long distance journeys for the sole purpose of being in attendance personally somewhere else in the world, those days have definitely gone. And not only is it quite right that those things are taking place, the audience wouldn't like it either. There'd be a question from the audience that said, you've come and talked to us today about sustainability, but how did you get here? So I think people's whole mindset has changed absolutely for the better. And I think it's just very refreshing to hear big organizations, and Lloyds Bank clearly being one of them, setting internal targets, internal benchmarks to make sure its own housekeeping is in order, as well as all the work that you're doing with the customers.
Leon Daniels is having lunch with Glenn Bement, the head of sustainability for SMEs at Lloyds Bank. Lloyds is supporting ITT Hub 2022 as a commercial partner. The bank is working hard to support its SME clients into the world of sustainability. Its new report explains how the bank is helping its business customers in every way.
So I was just thinking, Glenn, from the SMEs that you know, and without mentioning them unnecessarily, are there any good cases, good case studies that people would like to hear about how perhaps as a result of your report or as a result of the work they've done with the bank, they've got themselves to a better position than they were?
Yeah, so one of the elements of that Now to Net Zero report that you've kindly mentioned, Leon, I talked about the five-step plan, and the fifth step of that plan was something that we called Now to Net Zero Heroes, which sounds a little bit cheesy, a little bit marketing, but the whole premise of that is getting good quality case studies shared, you know, and our role as a large bank to, you know, share those stories, share them on our social media channels to allow other SMEs and other businesses of all sizes, frankly, to learn off one another. And again, that was a key theme from COP. How can you share best practice? How can you learn? Whether it's businesses in the same region, businesses in the same sector, sometimes even competitors, to learn from one another and pick up on those little hints and tips. So you'll see much more from Lloyds as we go through 2022 to try and share those case studies. And if you picked up on that, Lloyds sponsored the British Business in Excellence Awards last year, and I will mention one client by name, but we sponsored a sustainable business award, as you might imagine that we did, and unbelievable finalists. And I was, you know, privileged to be part of the judging panel. But the winner was Jude's Ice Cream, who are truly amazing at what they do in terms of their product. But even more amazing is how sustainability really goes to the core DNA of the business, their values, how they think about everything through all levels, you know, everything they do, everything about the plans for the future is considered from a sustainable business. And the way I describe that, it's almost like a sustainable business that makes ice cream rather than an ice cream business that's becoming sustainable. And I think once people get into that mindset, they really do snowball. And there's a few case studies that we've put out there where, you know, businesses have spoken to themselves and they talked about this snowball impact about, you know, get started. And actually, it's amazing where your journey takes you to and where you learn and where you can make some improvements.
I thought COP26 was a really great event, and I know it had its critics, but two things stuck out for me on COP26. Firstly, I think absolutely my heart goes out to Alok Sharma, who devoted so much of his time, energy, and frankly, his heart to getting COP26 the success that it was, and in particular, getting some countries over the line in the end in terms of their carbon footprint and so on. That was nothing less than amazing. But on a practical level, you have to have things like COP26 to bring people together, if necessary, from all over the world, because it is a global problem, it's a shared problem. And when you get enough people of the right mindset in a concentrated space, all sorts of really good things pour out of it. So I certainly found while I was there, there was a mild rewiring of my brain going on, because you were just immersed, weren't you, in the whole sustainability agenda. And it just caused you to continue to think in a slightly different way about what's possible, what you should do and what you could do. So did you feel the same?
Absolutely, Leon. I mean, if you think about it, it was, you know, was it going to actually happen face to face or was it going to be virtual? Well, certainly, you know, we made plans within Lloyds Banking Group for both. And as I said, I live in the Northwest and managed to get the train up to Glasgow. And on the first session I went up, it was the day of flooding. So as the train oodled past the Lake District, some of the lakes had actually combined to form mega lakes. So that was a timely reminder of weather impacts. But you're absolutely right. The productivity that we've just been talking about on Zoom calls and Teams calls, being face to face, in my case, with some of my peers from the other banks, understanding and trying to wrestle and, you know, just try to address where we can, you know, make a difference, where we can add value, what's our role, where does our role start and stop, you know, learning off others was fascinating. And then bringing the international aspect to and clearly people are flown into it from overseas, which brings back that carbon footprint. But having an international voice around Glasgow for those 2 weeks, I think was really important, because some of those weather impacts have clearly been seen much harder in other parts of the world. So I completely agree with you. And just an example for us, we decided in the lead up to the event to run a event which was based in Scotland. It was a hybrid event, so some people in person, but it was also done online. And it was a mix of our larger corporate clients and our SME clients in the room together talking about net zero and the importance of big business working with small business and vice versa, you know, and the importance of getting those supply chains linked and understood. And I think that for me was really important. Again, I think that's relevant for pan sector. We hosted it in Scotland because that's where COP was being held. But I think the audience were dialing in from all four corners of the UK. And that was a fascinating insight, where there was a genuine desire for businesses, say, of all sizes to work with one another to improve those supply chains, and to the end customer be able to demonstrate that everyone's working together. And I think increasingly consumers will demand that better visibility of the carbon footprint of the products that they purchase. And only by working together will we be able to start to solve that.
Yes, I got that too. And the other thing at COP that I was worried about that didn't happen, I was worried it was going to be the converted speaking to the converted, which is always a dangerous place to be, because we all slap each other on the back and say we've done a great job and come home. But it didn't feel like that at all. To me, it felt like I spent a lot of time learning from other people about other things that were happening. I've spent time learning about ideas that I hadn't considered for myself. And I spent some time telling other people about what others I knew had achieved. So on a completely different level to the international Alok Sharma level, I think there was a lot of practical good going on between the parties at the event, as well as showcasing some really good examples of what good really looked like.
Yeah, I agree. My big takeaway in terms of my learning was the role of new technology, or, you know, new application of technologies to help businesses of all sectors. And there's some really quite brown sectors out there that have got much to do. You know, there's lots of talk about, you know, the oil and gas majors, but sometimes they've got, you know, more capital and more resources to make the transition and the investments. But if I think about it from SMEs, you know, some of their transition is dependent upon new technologies or a application of new technologies to help their existing business or their process improve. And that takes time. It takes research and development. It takes financial investment. It takes the operational part of the business to incorporate those new technologies. So keeping people's mind open to what those technologies might be, how it's going to make an impact, I think was probably one of the key learnings that I took away from from COP. And of course, we started this conversation there on talking about opportunity, and there's a huge opportunity for people that are working in the technology space to address the net zero transitions of so many clients in so many sectors.
So Glenn, just going back to the report, I thought what was really helpful was the notion of those five steps, the five-step guide for SMEs, everything from getting started to delivery. Why not just walk us through those five steps?
One of the things that we were really excited about the report was that broader awareness from the research that we took part in, which was a broad church of clients across a huge number of sectors and not all Lloyd's clients, and took that research and tried to produce it in some, you know, easily digestible insights for people to pick up and read. And that really culminated in this five-step plan that hopefully is really a real practical element of the report. And I'd encourage anyone that's not read it to click onto our website and to access it. But the five steps of the plan are as follows. So the first one is getting started. Easier said than done, of course. But there's some things that are available on our website, like the Clean Growth Audit Guide and the Clean Growth Audit Checklist, some articles on, you know, six reasons it pays to go green that are real prompts to make a start and for people to sort of review their business and work out where they are now. The second one is look for those short-term wins. And the report also talks about some of the things that we do at home. So thinking about recycling, reducing energy consumption, reducing water consumption, changing changing lighting to LED, for example. So the short-term wins. And coupled with the short-term wins is the employee engagement. It's all very good for the chair or the CEO or the finance director to think about this from cost. But the research tells us when you engage all employees doing all roles in the business, you get this snowball and momentum, which is really quite exciting. You get ideas from everyone because they see their job in a slightly different way. The third one is measure the carbon footprint, you know, get mobilized and begin to monitor it. Again, easier said than done, but we have our own green buildings tool for people to assess the energy rating of their buildings that they own or lease. We are building our own carbon calculator for clients to access, and that will help clients to make more informed choices, investments, and prioritize the decisions, which we can then talk about and help finance. The fourth step is navigating the road ahead. You know, this is not plain sailing for anyone. There'll be new research, new insight that comes along. There'll be some opportunity, but there'll be more risks and challenges, I'm sure, over the next decade as we transition. So to keep navigating what's coming down the track. And then the fifth one, I think we've been talking about, Leon, in our conversation, listen to others. And this is what we've branded our heroes of net zero. And it's, again, a little plug for Lloyd's Banking Group. But if you go onto our social media platforms, you'll see we've now had season one and season two of our sustainability voices, real life case studies of people talking about their own experiences and what's gone well and what where the challenges are. So they're the five steps of the plan. And while there's many things that we are building into our plan within my team and in the broader bank to help clients on this transition, you know, it would be remiss of me to say that we have got our balance sheet here to support our clients. We have a clean growth financing initiative. We have a significant amount of that in excess of $5 billion earmarked for green lending to businesses of all sizes, with discounted margins or discounted arrangement fees to really incentivize people to start now and making those impacts in the business. So we are really open for business, and you know, we're here to support all businesses of all sectors begin to mark that journey towards a greener planet, which I think is the right outcome for us all and certainly for our children and grandchildren of the future.
Glenn, thank you very much indeed. And what a brilliant way to end this particular lunch, which has been an entirely sustainable lunch because we didn't have one, Glenn, did we? We did it over
Zoom. We didn't.
But I've been talking to Glenn Bement, who is the Head of Sustainability, SME and Mid-Corporate Banking at Lloyd's Banking Group. And this has been Lunch with Leon, which is an itthub.net production. If you'd like to go across to our website and see itthub.net, you'll see all the latest news and also details of this and our other podcasts, as well as information about our great show, ITT Hub, which of course is taking place in May at Farnborough. All it remains for me to do now is to thank once again my lunchtime guest, Glenn Bement.
Thank you, Leon.